Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
How are things going at the southern border? We're going to address that in a second here. Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. The Biden administration thinks they're going great, just so you know. You probably haven't heard this one, but it's true. I think doing a great job making sure that as many illegal aliens flow into the United States as possible through as many loopholes and backdoor entries as possible. We'll get into all that in a moment. I just want to say first that the Rittenhouse jury is asking the judge four questions. So does not seem right now live as we're speaking to you that we're going to have a verdict that is imminent. That's not where we are. It looks like the judge is being asked questions by the jury so they go back and keep deliberating. It is, to me, disconcerting. Disconcerting that we're at a place right now where the jury hasn't already come to a verdict. I do think that the pressure, the threats against the jury are certainly playing a role in this, but it could be more than that. We'll be watching this very closely. We'll jump in with any updates for you during the show today as they happen. But I mentioned to you, and you've noticed, I've said for a long time, we are in a different place now when it comes to the southern border, which in a lot of polling is a top three issue right now in terms of illegal immigration into this country, a top three issue right after, the economy and jobs, immigration's right there. We don't want the same things the Democrat Party does anymore. They're an open borders, pro-illegal immigration party. And they won't say it because a majority of the country's not with them, but they want that as the de facto status. And if you think I'm overstating, although I talk to Border Patrol and ICE people and I'm in contact with them and have been out of the border numerous times and can tell you that is what's going on. But let's just assume for a second, you don't want to take my word for it. Given that you have an almost all-time record of illegal crossings this year, what kind of grade do you think the head of Department of Homeland Security would give the Biden administration on the border? Well, here is Alejandro Mayorkas, chief of DHS.
Let's just pull back a little bit and just ask some basic questions. Do you believe the Biden immigration policies are successful?
Senator, I think rebuilding a broken immigration system and rebuilding a dismantled one takes time, and we're on the road to success.
So you think we're on the right track as a nation?
I do.
Okay. How would you grade yourself?
Senator, I'm a tough grader on myself, and I give myself an A for effort, investment, okay, in mission, and support of our workforce.
I don't think he's that tough of a grader, Buck. I'm just gonna toss it out there. If I'm trying to think, like, every now and then we get a progress report for one of my boys, right? And it gets sent home. We have to sign it and say, hey, we're seeing all the grades and everything else. If my boys were being as lenient of graders on themselves as Mayorkas is here, they would all have perfect scores. I mean, that's embarrassing. It's funny and ridiculous, but the fact that he would give himself an A is, he should be removed from his position just based on that. I don't even need to know anything else. If you think you're worthy of an A grade based on what's going on at the border, the worst the border has been, Buck, in decades, in most of our lives, it's shameful, it's embarrassing, and you are so clueless, you shouldn't have the right to continue to be a cabinet member.
He did another thing during this testimony yesterday before the Senate committee that was asking him questions about all of this, Senate Judiciary Committee. And you can see there's this repeated effort to take an area of failure under the Biden administration and then say, well, the way to address it is to do this other thing that we want you to do. An example, when we see the numbers for inflation and for what's going on with the economy right now, what do a lot of Biden appointees go out there and say? Well, you just need to get the shot. You need the vaccine mandate to go into effect. And then the economy turns around. Oh, that's really convenient. Here's another one. Here's another one where he says that if we want to get our economic recovery going, we need a mass amnesty, Clay. Look at that.
I'm working to pass immigration reform through reconciliation, and still unresolved what that will be, but I hope it is achieved. The overwhelming majority of Americans support a pathway to citizenship for undocumented immigrants, many of whom risk their lives to get to America and to stay here and risk their lives again during the pandemic. This is a critical component of our economic recovery and rebuilding communities and cannot wait any longer.
Sorry, obviously that's Senator Dick Durbin, but the same point stands, which is that they look at the immigration situation. They say, oh, you want to fix the economy? Give us amnesty. You want to fix the economy? Everyone gets the shot. This is crazy. You want to fix the economy? Spend trillions more when you have high inflation already. They do the exact wrong thing.
They lie and they lie and make you start to question whether you're the crazy one. That's what I hear so much from our listeners, is there's so many lies out there, and the lying is delivered with such confidence that all of you out there say, wait a minute, like, what am I missing? And the allies in the media who propagate the lies, just think about all the lies that we have been told by the media, Buck, and how shamelessly they're delivered. And when they all fall down, and we can use, obviously, what happened with the Steele dossier as a recent perfect example of this, they just move right along and pretend that it never actually occurred. The shamelessness, the duplicity, the downright despicable nature of these lies, I'm not sure it's ever been more pronounced than what's going on right now. I mean, you've got the worst border in any of our lives, and in front of Congress, the head of border responsibility, Mayorkas, the cabinet secretary responsible for this disaster, gives himself an A. Dick Durbin just lied and said the vast majority of Americans are in favor of amnesty and that it should be able to go through reconciliation, something that's already been shot down.
The lawlessness at the border has so many effects on the rest of the country, and that's why it is such a high-level issue. It also goes, in terms of Americans' concern, it also goes to, is the state an honest, the big S state, the federal government, an honest broker in all of this with issues like COVID? You know, we have all these restrictions. We have illegal immigrants coming in, hundreds of thousands a month, and a lot of them are either untested for COVID, they have COVID, whatever it may be. People have been distributed to places across the country who already had COVID. And this is all going on, Clay, at a time when a lot of people feel like the focus should be on the American people who are already here. An example of this is over 100,000 people now. I mean, you're looking at the numbers, the highest numbers ever for overdose, drug overdose. A vast majority of those drugs that Americans are dying from overdoses on, and sometimes they're so-called hot batch, right? They're poorly made drugs. The cartels will create fentanyl in vats in labs in Mexico, and they, you know, there's no quality control. They'll make whatever they make. People take it. They'll die even if they didn't take what was a lethal, what they thought was a lethal dose. You got, you know, between 90 and 100,000, I think, is the latest number. And that's partially a function of you can't stop the drugs from flowing into the country when you're processing thousands and thousands of illegal migrant crossings every day for people who are pretending to be getting asylum in this country when they're just gaming our system. So there are all these second order effects, too, that people, you know, whether you're in, you know, New York, L.A., Houston or Nebraska, people all across the country know these drugs are flooding in their communities, know we don't have a secure southern border, and can see the Biden administration is still prioritizing the rights of non-Americans, which is what an illegal alien is, as a policy priority.
Not only that, Buck, this is also directly tied into COVID policy. When we come back, one of the reasons why all of these overdose deaths have skyrocketed is because we've created isolation for so many addicts. They can't go to church. They can't go for long periods of time to meet with other people in their addiction groups. We've isolated people who are most in need of direct contact and support and help with our COVID policies.
I want to get it right,
connecting here,
because you're absolutely right, Clay. But I also want to get it right. The statistic I said it was between 90. It's actually over 100,000. This is the report that came out today from the CDC. Over 100,000 overdose deaths in a 12-month period for the first time in the history of the United States.
Yes.
We just had the worst month ever of drug overdoses. And why is that happening? Fauciism and the isolation and despair that it unnecessarily causes with all the social distancing and mask up and
yes,
all that nonsense. And a lawless southern border where we have Border Patrol, and they've told me this. I've seen them do this processing. Border Patrol is gathering up, you know, thousands of people at a time, families who are showing up saying, you know, where's my sandwich and my water, and send me to New York. Send me to L.A. at taxpayer expense.
Often under night coverage, yeah, right? Yeah. So they can land without being seen.
Put me on a plane. And when they're doing that, they're not stopping the drug cartels from flooding our streets with illegal fentanyl and these other drugs that are out there that are killing now over 100,000 people a year. Do you think Fauci stops for 1 second and says, maybe deaths of despair should be factored into whether I'm telling everybody to get boosted and double mask?
Especially, Buck, if you factor in the age of the deaths of despair. Very often people in their 20s, their 30s, with decades, 40s of life ahead of them, where if you look at lives, years of life lost, which I do believe is a big factor here, because most people who are dying with COVID are over the age of 80. Most people who are dying of drug overdoses are relatively young and theoretically would have decades of life ahead of them.
And what is the government policy on this? Is there any focus on this? Are they securing the border? Are they dealing with overdose deaths as though it's an imminent crisis? Nope, not at all. Rather talk to you about how you need amnesty and get the shot. And if you got a problem with that, they're going to send Merrick Garland's FBI after you. Don't say too much at the parent board meeting. Oh, no, that's the big problem they're looking at here. We're going to continue to look at the Rittenhouse trial, folks. Every minute of this, we're watching it closely to make sure that if there is a verdict, we'll bring it to you straight away. And we've also got Clay. You see that even some libs who actually understand finance and understand monetary policy are calling out the Biden administration's reckless and insane spending spree and
no doubt.
This is going to do to inflation. So there's even some folks on the left who are figuring out, this is going to get really bad. A home that is much happier is a home with a four-legged companion, as you know, a dog, a cat, or both. We love our pets here on the EIB. They become a part of the family. They're family members. We want them happy and healthy. We want them around for a long time. One way of ensuring that is paying attention to what you feed them. Therein lays the problem, though, because a lot of dog food is actually dead food. Has to be able to sit in a warehouse before sitting on the supermarket shelf for maybe years at a time. Dry kibble dog food has to go through a sterilization process to kill anything that might be alive. And that gets rid of the good stuff, too. Probiotics, gone. Enzymes, gone. Vitamins and healthy microbacteria, all of it, gone. The solution, as we come to you with solutions here, is adding a healthy supplement into your dog's food. The one we use is called Ruff Greens. That's R-U-F-F Greens. It has all the live vitamins, probiotics, omega oils, and antioxidants your dog needs as part of a healthy diet. Ruff Greens will make your dog healthier by making the dog food better. The folks at Ruff Greens know your dog is going to love it, so they'll send the first bag to you free. That's how confident they are. All you pay is shipping. How do you get this? Go to roughgreens.com/EIB. That's R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/EIB. Pay shipping, get the first bag free. Make your pooch, make your cat healthier than ever.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. We are rolling through the Wednesday edition of the program. And Buck, you were just playing a lot of the audio of the disaster at the border with Mayorkas testifying. What's fascinating about this is Biden is a disaster on virtually every issue right now. If you look at polling, the worst response anywhere in the nation to any individual issue is what's going on at the border. And by the way, for those of you out there who are just getting in the car, just starting off your day with us, good news for those of us who have been fighting against vaccine mandates, OSHA, as a result of the Fifth Circuit ruling, has ceased implementing their COVID vaccine mandate right now. They just posted that on their website. And one of the things I've been saying, Buck, and some people who have listened to us talk about this for a while, Mayorkas finally got asked about it. And my question that I've been asking is, if it's so important that everybody be vaccinated in the United States, why are we allowing hundreds of thousands of undocumented illegal immigrants into our country? And at a bare minimum, not vaccinating them too. If there's so much authority for Joe Biden, why would you not be vaccinating illegal immigrants who have no right to come into our country? My argument is because they know they don't have the legal authority to do it. And as soon as a lawsuit got filed, which would happen, by someone challenging the constitutionality of that mandate for illegals, it would obviously become a precedent. Well, if you can't vaccinate illegals entering the country, why can you mandate vaccinations for American citizens? It's a fair question.
It seems like a fair question to ask.
Very fair question. So Mayorkas got asked about this finally, and I would encourage other politicians, a lot of staff listens to this, to go after that inconsistency in American policy. Wait a minute, Joe Biden. You're mandating that citizens get vaccines or lose their jobs, but you're not mandating as a condition of bringing illegal immigrants into the country that at a bare minimum we give them the COVID vaccine. Listen to Mayorkas' tortured explanation on why you, all of you out there who are American citizens, should be held accountable for the vaccine mandate. But all the illegal immigrants who are pouring into our country, well, no, they can't get vaccinated. Listen to this. Let's play.
We've got a president who's implementing a national mandate for vaccines for any employers over 100 employees and all federal employees. Why shouldn't we mandate that somebody who comes across the border illegally shouldn't be vaccinated, or that's a reason for expulsion under Title 42 or any other law?
Senator, the analysis for migrants encountered at the border is quite different than for the federal workforce that leads by example.
Can I just say that's your answer? This dude is an imbecile.
This is what the Biden administration wants, right? He's the implementer of their lunacy. And I just think it's fascinating. First of all, why isn't the straightforward policy? He's mentioning Title 42. That's a CDC authority to effectively protect the United States during a pandemic, which has been used sparingly in some ways to prevent some migrants, illegal men in the United States. But the family unit issue essentially overrode that, and no longer were they weren't using Title 42 to expel families. And the Biden administration wants to stop using Title 42 entirely. Actually, they're in the process of implementing that, just so everybody knows. Why isn't the policy get the shot or get out?
Yeah.
It's very straightforward. And what is the possible justification for that? We're not making you get the shot. You're not supposed to be here in the first place.
At a bare minimum, if you're going to enter into our country, given the fact that we're mandating vaccines for citizens, why wouldn't that be a condition of entering the country?
I mean, we will fire members of the military, apparently, in this country, who risk their lives, risk being maimed and killed in battle for us. We'll fire them for not getting the shot. But illegals can come in. It's like, well, it's complicated. No, get the shot or get out should be the official policy of the Biden regime, but we know it's not.
And the reason why it's not, Buck, is because they know they'll get shot down in court if they try to do it, and they don't want the precedent out there for citizens either. Mike Lindell, he's the inventor of MyPillow, and he's got an incredible offer for you right now. He has got the cheapest, most affordable, best deal ever for a standard MyPillow. Right now you can get it for $19.98. Originally $69.98. That's a $50 savings with the promo code Clay and Buck. King Pillow, only $10 more. You also have a money-back guarantee trial until March 1st of next year. You have no risk at all. Get hooked up like our families are hooked up. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com, enter the promo code Clay and Buck, or you can call 800-792-3269 for these great radio specials. I've got it all throughout my house. You are going to love it. $19.98. You can save an amazing $50 right now. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com and use the code Clay and Buck. Do it today.
Why is the DOJ targeting parents as possible domestic terrorists for speaking out at school board meetings? It sounds insane. It is, but it also is real, according to this whistleblower who has come forward. Congressman Jim Jordan's already written a letter about it. We'll talk to him later in the week, a letter to the DOJ. We're now joined by somebody who knows the education apparatus quite well in this country, Betsy DeVos. She was the education secretary under President Trump. She's also got a book coming out next year, Hostages to the Cause, The Fight for Education and the Future of the American Child. Ms. DeVos, thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you both.
So let's start with what you're seeing here just in the last 24 hours or so, but stretching back a little beyond that, too, to the initial letter put out by the Attorney General about parents showing up at school board meetings. As somebody who was at the top of the education department bureaucracy for years. What do you make of this? I mean, what do you think about as somebody who focuses in on education when parents are being targeted for wanting to have a bigger say in their kids' futures?
Well, first of all, parents have every right to have a lot of say in their kids' futures. And this was and is a giant overreach and overstep on the part of the federal government. What we know is that the National School Boards Association colluded, worked with the White House, worked with the Department of Justice to complain about the fact that parents were showing up at school board meetings asking to know about what was going on in their kids' schools. And not more than 5 days later, the DOJ, Merrick Garland himself, issues this memo which talks about going after and investigating parents that are simply speaking their minds. Now, clearly threats of violence are inappropriate, but local officials, local authorities are meant to take care of issues like that. The Department of Justice is the top law enforcement entity in the world, I mean in our country, and this act was just a huge overreach. Now we find that not only is this has this been happening, but they've set up a system to internally to track parents and perceived threats of violence wherever they occur.
Secretary DeVos, do you think, we've talked a lot about this on the show, we now have a vaccine available for COVID for 5 to 11-year-olds. We've seen the Biden administration take as aggressive of a policy position on vaccines as they can. Do you think they may try to mandate federally vaccines in the schools for children? Should parents, in your mind, be concerned about that?
Well, I think everyone should be concerned, again, about an overreach on the part of the federal government into an area that is a family's, a parent's decision. And I would not be surprised if this was attempted. I think it would be a horrific move, but I would not be surprised based on everything else we've seen from this Biden administration.
We're speaking to former Education Secretary under President Trump, Betsy DeVos. Ms. DeVos, the CRT rebellion of sorts that played out in Virginia, most notably with the win of Governor-elect Glenn Youngkin and the many parents speaking out, despite the saber rattling of sorts from the DOJ, speaking out against critical race theory, or really its offshoots and variations, racial Marxism, however people want to describe it. How prevalent is that within the education bureaucracy? And what can we do about it?
Well, I think, first of all, the last year and a half has really laid bare the many failings of our public education system, starting with the very long and unnecessary lockdowns, keeping kids out of school for well over a year in most cases, and making sure that kids fall farther and farther behind. I mean, the ones who are hurt most are the ones who are most vulnerable, the ones who need to be in school absolutely the most. Starting with that, and then with the teachers' unions continuing to play their games to try to get their agenda enacted to get more resources into their system. And so the whole critical race theory and all of the issues about curriculum have come to the fore because parents have finally seen what is actually going on in their kids' classrooms, and they're not happy, and justifiably so. What we saw in the Virginia governor's race really gave voice to what many in the Democrat Party have long known, and that is they are controlled by the teachers' unions, and they don't believe that parents should have the control and say over their kids' education. Terry McAuliffe was the embodiment of that.
We're talking to former Education Secretary under Donald Trump, Betsy DeVos. I want to give you a lot of credit for this, Secretary. These kangaroo courts inside of colleges and universities when it came to sexual assault have been absolute disasters procedurally in terms of if you accuse somebody of sexual assault on a campus, oftentimes you had no right to confront your accuser. You couldn't cross-examine them. Is that getting worse now that Joe Biden is back in office? And for many parents out there who have had to go through these situations with their sons or their daughters, how broken is that system and how do we fix it and keep it fixed?
Well, great question. This was an issue we tackled head on in the Trump administration, and we went through the arduous rulemaking process to make it clear what the responsibilities are on the part of campuses when there is sexual misconduct on campus. It gives both those who are the complainant and those who are being complained against, it gives them equal rights and equal footing and a process and framework under which they are supposed to proceed with these things. What we saw from the Obama administration that only issued a dear colleague, what's called a dear colleague letter, that did not have the force of law, but they bullied schools into actually following it, was a denial of due process in all too many cases. And we saw hundreds of cases being brought forward to federal courts and district courts that were overturned in favor of the student who did not receive due process. That's not right for those who are victims. That's not right for those who do not have due process. It hurts everyone. So our rule, our framework, is current existing law, and schools must follow it.
Ms. DeVos, I know your book coming out next year about is called Hostages to the Cause, The Fight for Education, The Future of the American Child. You are known and were known before you were education secretary as a school choice advocate. How close are we, or how close could we be, perhaps under a different administration, to getting school choice? And should that be the central fight right now for parents who are concerned, other than CRT, let's say, for parents who are concerned about the future of their children's education? Is school choice the top issue?
Absolutely. School choice, education, freedom, empowering families to choose the right fit and the right setting for their children is an imperative. We're seeing movement across the country. And again, this whole COVID pandemic brought it all into focus in a way that families had never really had to grapple with before. Many families who thought they were living in a, quote, good school district were let down by their schools. Now they're seeing curriculums that they are appalled by. So giving families the power to take their children's education dollars, I like to use the metaphor of a backpack. Kids go to school every day with the stuff they need for the day. Let's metaphorically put the resources for that child in that backpack and let the families make the decisions as to which school and which setting is going to be right for each of their children. That is the solution long term. Having transparency and competition in the marketplace for education will fundamentally change things for the better for every kid.
Former Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, the book Hostages to the Cause, coming out next year. Ms. DeVos, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Clay and Buck. I appreciate it.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been honoring America's heroes ever since. September of this year marked the 20th anniversary of that fateful day, and Tunnel to Towers Foundation has made every moment of this year count. They've helped us to remember the bravery of our first responders. They've helped us learn how to recognize our men and women in uniform that have gone overseas to fight the war on terrorism. Just last week, they created another first. Those lost in the war on terror had their names read aloud. That ceremony is now the newest Tunnel to Towers annual tradition.
And now the foundation is bringing hope to heroes and their families, giving away at least a home a day from Thanksgiving to New Year's Eve. Honor our vow to never forget. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. As we roll through the Wednesday edition of the program, I encourage you to go subscribe to the podcast. We appreciate you setting an all-time high for podcast downloads in October. Hope to set another all-time high in November. Although Thanksgiving and Christmas, November and December, sometimes make that a little bit more challenging. But maybe you're going to be on the road, like I will be, headed down to Florida for Thanksgiving with my family. Maybe you need something to listen to. That's what I'm going to be doing as I drive my family around and get ready for the holidays. Go subscribe to the podcast. You can zoom through, find any different topics or guests that you may enjoy. Search out my name, Clay Travis. Search out Buck Sexton, and you will be well on your way to subscribing to the Clay and Buck Show and helping us set another new record in November as one of the most downloaded podcasts in all of the iHeart network, which is impressive because iHeart is the biggest audio company in the world and the biggest podcast company by a substantial margin, and we are one of the biggest podcasts because of you guys. All right. A couple of different things that are going on out there right now. We're going to update you on the latest with the Rittenhouse case as the jury is still out. The Ahmaud Arbery case is underway right now as well. OSHA has announced that they will not be implementing the vaccine mandate. We will set all of that up for you in the near future here. But in the meantime, the infrastructure bill has been signed, and Joe Biden is on a road tour to try to build support for the infrastructure accomplishment. And my goodness, I want to play these cuts for you in New Hampshire and listen and think, is this a man that is in complete control of his mental faculties? I think all of you can tell the answer is no. Let's start with cut four.
More fires in the West burned to the ground, homes, businesses, and forests than the entire state of New Jersey from Cape May to New York City. This is the United States of America, for God's sake. And why is it happening? Well, the severe storms that are knocking down all the wires. Anyway, there's a lot going on. We have to, this law builds back our bridges, our water systems, our power lines, our grids, and for better and stronger resilience.
Oh, my God.
He really is the uncle at the Thanksgiving table who's actually had a little too much to drink.
I don't think he drinks, but he sounds like he's drunk all the time.
But he's kind of muttering stuff like, there we are. There's a porcupine dancing on a roof, and then there's a couple of apples in an orchard, and you go up a tree, and boom, lightning strikes. And he looks around the room, and everyone's like, what are you talking about, you utter weirdo? What is he even saying?
It's always tough when you're at Thanksgiving and you have a family member who has lost control of their faculties. But usually that family member is not making very many significant decisions, even for your family. We have that guy in charge of the United States right now. So that was Biden trying to discuss infrastructure. I don't even know what he was trying to say at the open there, like all the fires in California and comparing it to the East Coast.
The crazier whatever he says is, the more it sounds like he really believes it. You know, all of a sudden he's like, there's fires and there's bridges and this stuff is happening all over the country. Never, it's like, wait, I can't follow you. But he gets more into it. You know, he leans into it harder the less sense it actually makes.
And they put so much of this for him on the teleprompter, and he's incapable of even reading what they're trying to get him to say. Now, Biden also, that wasn't it. That was obviously completely incoherent. But he also tried to talk about how to cross a bridge in a snowstorm in New Hampshire. And that didn't go well either. Let's listen to cut five of our esteemed leader.
Conversations around those kitchen tables that are both profound as they are ordinary. How do I cross a bridge in a snowstorm? What happened? No, I didn't think about it. You know, you're in a situation, what happens if the bridge collapses and there's a fire on the other side? It's going to take 10 miles longer to get to the fire. People can die. I mean, this is real. This is real stuff.
You know, man, you're sitting at a kitchen table and all of a sudden, you know, the neighbor's house is getting hit with a flood, and you don't have a raft ready, and then all of a sudden a porcupine shows up.
What is he even talking about? I mean, this is so bad. This is so bad. Like, can we play that one more time? I just want you to listen. This is Joe Biden talking about why his infrastructure bill is so important. How do you cross a bridge in a snowstorm? First of all, I bet just about every single person out there who lives in the Midwest and the Northeast has crossed a bridge in a snowstorm. The answer is you might go a little bit slower than you ordinarily would, and most of the time the bridge doesn't collapse, and there's also not a fire on the other side of the bridge. Like, listen to this. This is so incomprehensibly bad. Imagine what China and Russia are thinking when they're getting shared clips of the most popular president in the history of the nation, according to the left wing in this media. Listen to this.
Conversations around those kitchen tables that are both profound as they are ordinary. How do I cross a bridge in a snowstorm? What happened? No, I didn't think about it. You know, you're in a situation, what happens if the bridge collapses and there's a fire on the other side? It's going to take 10 miles longer to get to the fire. People can die. I mean, this is real. This is real stuff.
I like when he gets all folksy about it, too. He's like, so, you know, we don't have broadband for everybody. We got an infrastructure bill, and a priest, a rabbi, and a monk walk into a bar and, you know, step into my office because you're fired. You know, you're just like, first of all, aren't you from Delaware? What's with all the folksy stuff?
Also, how about all the hypotheticals? Like, I have kids. And so if you have young kids, they constantly hit you with hypotheticals. Like, every now and then, my wife will just say, okay, We can't have any more
questions.
Do your
kids ask you which animals would win in a fight? Because we used to ask my dad that all the time. Who would win, a triceratops or a stegosaurus?
Those are great, fun questions. But sometimes they get so detailed that you're just like, I don't even know. Like, we're not sitting around the table having a normal conversation about how a bridge may collapse and there might be a fire on the other side and nobody's going to be able to get there. That's not a normal, like, hey, what did you talk about at dinner? Well, how your day went, what would happen if a bridge collapsed in a snowstorm and there was a fire on the other side and people weren't able to get to it, but now, because of the infrastructure bill, nobody's going to die in that fire in the snowstorm with the bridge collapsing. Like, this is all really weird stuff, and this is, honestly, we talked a lot about the 25th Amendment. It was on television all the time when Donald Trump was president. Guy is a mental savant compared to what's going on with Joe Biden right now.
He used to do 2.5-3 hours at a time.
Unscripted
in a stadium with, 60,000 people or whatever.
Following every word he said.
It was riveting, and people would watch it. It was the best thing on TV at the time, and he would say clever and amusing. It might have enraged the left, but it was clever. It was funny. It was coherent. And they're telling us that this is the best they can do on the, I mean, the Democrats, that's the part of it that I find as offensive as anything else. Really, guys? This is what you came up with for us, for America, to unite us, to take us back to normal? This guy who's yelling about crossing a bridge in a snowstorm and kitchen table conversations, he's such a phony, Clay. This guy's been living in mansions for the last 30 years. He's not a kitchen table bridge talk guy.
Not only that, Buck, this is the best he's going to be. His mental faculties are getting worse every single day. With the stresses of the presidency, what in the world is this guy going to be capable of in 2022 and 2023?
That's why America has Kamala.
Maybe the only thing worse than Joe Biden is Kamala. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I would rather have Biden and his inconsequential, meandering idiocy than Kamala and her flat-out communism. I mean, this is awful.
More on Rittenhouse coming up.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.